Captain Prince's plan was intricate. As he elaborated the details, he clutched a stick and scratched out diagrams in the soft dirt. At Musi's signal, the Rangers would clear out of Platero and march south toward the camp, flanked by Pajota's 200 men on one side and Hosan's 80 men on the other. Just before reaching the Pampanga River, the two guerrilla groups would break off from the Rangers. Pajota's forces would bear sharply to the left. Their task would be to set up a massive roadblock on Highway 5, about a mile northeast of the camp, near the Kabu River Bridge. Precisely at 7:40, they were to destroy the bridge with landmines, which Pajota's explosives experts would have already set among the span's log pylons. Just across the river, more than 1,000 Imperial Army soldiers would still be bivouacked down in the bamboo thickets. Should they charge toward the POW camp upon hearing the Ranger fire, Pajota's men would be there, waiting in ambush, reinforced with a bazooka to hold any Japanese tanks at bay. Lining themselves across the road and facing the bridge in a classic open V, Pajota's guerrillas would proceed to cut down the enemy with enfilading fire. Captain Hosan's job would be, in a sense, the mirror opposite of Pajota's. He and his forces would peel off toward the right and erect another roadblock on Highway 5, this one just south of the camp, to stop any Japanese troops that might hasten from Cabanatuan City. Here, the Japanese threat was less imminent, since Cabanatuan was 4 miles away, but potentially far greater than for Pajota's men at the Kabu River Bridge, as there were said to be as many as 8,000 of Yamashita's best soldiers stationed in the city. Hosan, too, would have bazookas and landmines at his disposal, but if Japanese forces were to get early notice of the raid and attack en masse, his men might soon be overwhelmed. This part of the plan was exceedingly risky, but Pajota and Hosan, working in tandem, had to seal off a solid mile of the road and hold it long enough for the Rangers to attack the camp, remove the prisoners, and then cross back over, melting safely into the rice paddies in the deepening night. The two Filipino forces, in other words, were to function as a synchronized pair of shut-off valves in a great water main, temporarily blocking the flow in both directions, so the Rangers could go in and do their extraction work with little worry of a surprise surge in the pipe. For the Rangers, though, reaching the camp would pose a much more immediate problem. For the last mile beyond the Pampanga on the bald plain, they had to crawl on their stomachs in the hope of escaping detection. As they approached the highway, the 30 members of F Company would then break left from Prince's larger group to sneak around to the back of the camp, creeping along a dry ravine that was, they hoped, deep enough to conceal them from Japanese sentinels. The F Company men would position themselves to fire on the rear guard towers and pillboxes, as well as on the Japanese barracks, which were believed to house several hundred transient soldiers. F Company would fire first, just as the sun was setting, at about 7:30, and this opening salvo would serve as the cue for Prince's C Company to leap across the road and kill the guards in the towers while simultaneously storming the main gate. Once the gate was breached, a first wave of men would race down the camp's central thoroughfare, pivot right, and then riddle the Japanese side with a merciless barrage of automatic fire from Tommy guns and BARs. Then the bazooka team would penetrate deeper into the compound and destroy the metal shed where the scouts believed the tanks were parked. Japanese resistance quelled, a final wave of men would push in with wire cutters and free the prisoners, with a reserve of Rangers and Alamo scouts waiting at the front gate to escort the escapees to the Pampanga River, where carabao and civilian-driven oxcarts would be waiting. Captain Prince would direct the traffic and oversee the action while standing at the threshold of the main gate. As the stream of exiting POWs trickled off, he would personally go in to inspect each barracks to make sure every last prisoner had been removed. Once satisfied of that, he would fire a red flare high over the camp, the signal to all participants that the assault was over. After the column of Rangers and POWs had successfully crossed the Pampanga, Prince would fire a second red flare, this one assigned to both guerrilla groups, to commence their withdrawals. Then the hardest part. At the river, the Rangers and POWs would embark on their 30-mile trudge north toward American lines, passing through Platero on the way, with the guerrillas serving as rear guard. It promised to be a long, slow trek of moonlight marching, but by dawn they should be scot-free in the Sixth Army's embrace.